Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
I am continually blown away at our people's prayers. My goodness. Thank you, Angie. Well, good morning, church family. Good morning online, way up there, super far away. Good morning. It's good to see your faces. It's good to hear your voices. We have spent 5 weeks on the Beatitudes. Brandon spent 3 weeks guiding us through the ones found in Matthew chapter 5. And Gary spent 2 weeks pointing out in Revelation where Jesus echoed them and sprinkling them all throughout the letter of Revelation, kind of like little treasures to find and to cherish. And in between Brandon and Gary, we celebrated Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday. And thank you to John Crabb, as he is here with us in spirit, for beautifully reminding us that we can have reasonable and logical certainty that our Lord has risen. Man, Jesus' resurrection is incredible, isn't it? No wonder we're taking a whole month to change up the way we enjoy communion together. We want Easter to change the very fabric of how we live. By conquering sin and death, Jesus completely flipped the world upside down. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The fear of death, that fear that our entire world is crippled by, for those who claim the risen Christ our Lord, the fear of death and all of our attempts to evade it or to escape it, well, they evaporate. For the child of God, our inevitable bodily death is merely the threshold that we must walk through to finally meet our Savior face to joyful face. For those who abide in Christ, for those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, we are no longer crippled or held captive by the fear of death. The children of God have traded fear of this world and fear in this world for the love and the peace of the Father through Jesus Christ. This kind of freedom that God offers in the resurrection of Jesus, well, it frees us up to love others as Jesus commanded his disciples in John chapter 13. This is verses 34 and 35. And I like how the NLT says it. It's up on the screen. It says, "So, now I am giving you a new commandment." This is Jesus talking. It says, "Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." We are now free to partner with God in love. We can partner with God to bring the heaven that he planted in our hearts into our communities. And the world will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. And who is Jesus invited to partner with him to bring more of heaven to earth? Well, that's a good question. I'm so very glad you asked. We've spent five out of the last 6 weeks in the Beatitudes talking about how we get to partner with each other. And as we wrap up our Beatitudes series, let's slow down just a little bit and wonder, be curious, what it might look like to love each other as God's community that is made up and described by the Beatitudes. We're also going to be looking at how the Beatitudes might be at work in your own life and how you might be experiencing them when you interact with God's community. So we got a lot going on today. This morning, Kelsey Moeller will be joining me for a conversation about all of this. I'm delighted that she serves with me and with our discipleship leader team. And if you don't know, our team is tasked with helping our church go from just learning about truth to experiencing truth in healthy intergenerational ways and relationships. Our team recently sat down to ask and to discuss this question. How can we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and sisters who might be struggling with believing and experiencing that the Beatitudes are true for you, for them? And so today, Kelsey and I will share a few of our responses in hopes of inspiring you to have similar discussions with other believers in your family or in your small group. And so, let's jump right into it. If you want to open your Bibles or your phone app to Matthew chapter 3, we're going to go through the Beatitudes. And it's good to see you up here. I'm going to face you just a little bit. Meet more. So we begin with the first Beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so, do you feel like the Christian faith doesn't make sense to you? Maybe you have too many doubts, or maybe too many questions. Maybe you feel like a perpetual failure in God's eyes. Maybe you don't know what to believe, or maybe you feel that you're too messed up, or you don't have enough faith. Maybe feeling ashamed of who you are, that you're not enough. Maybe you're poor in spirit. What I want to say to you is welcome home, my friend. By your example, the risen Lord has declared that the kingdom of heaven is home to so many more than we could ever fathom. So landmark, you. How can we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and to our sisters who feel like they may not belong in the kingdom of heaven? So this is one of the questions that our discipleship team talked through and discussed. And Kelsey, help us out. How did we talk about this?
Yeah. So when we talked about it, we, for this question, we came to the conclusion there's not exclusive to all this, there's more, but loving people, loving them where they currently are, and accepting them for who they currently are is a really big one. Making sure that they have space to belong and helping them, reminding them that they don't have to feel put together in order to be family, in order to be our family in Christ, and to be God's glowing face and embodiment of how God actually enjoys and likes them. We like them, we enjoy them, so how much more will our Creator, who knows them better than we do, enjoy and like them too.
Wow. So yeah, how do we show love to our, the love of Jesus to our brothers and sisters who feel like they may not belong into the kingdom of heaven? That's some powerful stuff. Well, let's move on to our next one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Are you grieving right now? Is sadness a persistent, unwelcomed presence in your life? Maybe you feel depressed. Maybe you're clinically depressed. Maybe you're trying to pick up the pieces of a shattered life and you don't know where to begin. Maybe you feel like you're all alone in your sadness or in your struggle. If that resonates with you, if you're grieving right now, we are so glad that you are with us. For your presence shows us that the risen Lord is fully present with us in our pain and in our struggles, that he feels and understands our grief, that he's not going anywhere. So, Landmark, how can we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and our sisters who are in need of comfort? Kelsey.
Which, thank you for having me up here, by the way. I forgot to say that. this first one is one that's, I think, a really big one. But in the moment, praying for and over them. Mm. And just as a side note, I admit that I will often forget this myself. When I'm with somebody and trying to offer comfort to them. And it can be hard if it's not a habitual practice that you do. But I just wanted to add that when I do forget, and maybe this is helpful for you guys too, that you can also follow up with them with that prayer, because we have these wonderful devices that allow us to communicate, whether it's a message or a voice memo, to pray for and over them. So give yourself some grace if you don't, if you're like me and the conversation ends and you leave and think, oh, I could have prayed for them in that moment, or I could have prayed over them in that moment, but I just simply forget sometimes until you do it more and practice it if it's not something you're super comfortable or familiar with. But it is very powerful to do that. But that's just one, of course, and not giving advice or platitudes and really hearing them, really hearing them, and asking them what real practical help might actually look like for them. It might be different than what you think it is. And creatively finding ways to simply be with them, and your compassionate presence with them, inviting them to join or be part of a group where we are all about our small groups here, because it does make a difference, and it is very impactful, especially when we're mourning. That's always an option. And remember that one of the biggest things that we talked about that I really appreciated, and you brought this up when we were talking, is remembering that for the mourner to come at all or to let you in at all is a huge win. It's a big win to celebrate. So to recognize that and to have empathy is something that I added to that list too. And a lot of this is embodying what empathy is. But that's a big quality for someone who's mourning, just to be in their presence and have that empathetic and compassionate presence with them is a big deal.
Wow. Man, for those who mourn. Let's consider our next beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek. Are you slow to speak? Gentle in your responses? How did that happen? How have you been humbled over the years? How have your edges been softened? What did you have to go through? What was placing the needs of others above your own? What did that cost? And for those who are meek, you honor us with your hard-won patience, your teachability, your dependence on God. We join in to proclaim that God's children shall inherit the earth. And so, Landmark, how might we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and sisters who are lowly and place others higher than they place themselves?
I'd love to answer that for you. One way is to be intentionally looking for people who are doing a lot of work behind the scenes and thanking them, intentionally thanking them and showing them appreciation. There's a lot of those people here in this church. There's a lot of people doing things behind the scenes to help this whole church service come together. So taking intentional time to look for them and let them know and thank them and appreciate. And even asking them if they need any help with anything. I think sometimes we might not do that because we're scared for any long-term commitment of things. But even little things or temporary help, I'm sure they would appreciate that too. Pointing out what you value in the other person, what you notice, how they remind you of the character of Christ, that's probably got to be one of the biggest compliments anyone could get, right? Is when someone is very specific of what it is about you or what it is that you do that reminds them of Jesus himself, that's a blessing to hear. So offer that when you notice that in people. And helping them feel validated and venerated and reminding them of their worth in the eyes of Jesus. This is something I added. I don't know if it was in the notes.
I'm interested.
Maybe you can validate and let me know if it's correct. God cares for their hearts too. And their heart for others is big, but so can their heart be compassionate towards themselves as Christ is compassionate for them too. And I think I put after that, self-care and self-love is different than selfishness. It's a different perspective.
Self-love and self-care is different than selfishness.
Yeah. You agree? Is that
we're getting some head nods.
Yeah.
Wow.
Appreciation of self, yeah. Because when you're feeling lowly of yourself, I think people are scared that they're being selfish in that way. And that's different than how Christ sees you.
Wow. So. My goodness. Well, I think you got validated already.
I was going to say, is that right? Correct me.
Well done, man. So, let's keep moving. We're in the next beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Hungering and thirsting. Does your heart break for the outcast, the marginalized, the oppressed? Maybe you've been on the receiving end of a terrible injustice, and you long not for revenge, but for God to fix it, for God to put it right again. Maybe you lie awake at night praying to God for relationships to be restored, for the vulnerable to be protected, for others to have integrity, for our government to uphold godly justice. If that resonates with you, then because of you, We, Landmark, is reminded that God seeks both justice and restoration, and that he will put right what has been wrong, what has gone wrong, and we will be satisfied. So, Landmark, how might we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and our sisters who wait upon the Lord to put things right again?
When this person shares their heart and their hope for justice, look for ways to serve with them and to champion. Don't ignore them. Don't minimize them or what they're saying. And take it seriously. Don't deflect or distract their passion and their heart behind it. Investigate with them. Be curious with scripture in hand. What is the right thing? The best thing? What can we do with our resources? Appreciate the voice, the passion, and their desire to be heard.
Wow.
Yeah, those are big ones. I think the being heard is a big one.
Wow. Ooh, this is getting practical. Let's move on to our next beatitude in verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Are you quick to forgive? Maybe a little too quick, others might say. Are you unable to hold a grudge? Do you feel compassion for others deep in your gut and then act on it? Maybe you're too soft on others or too quick to help or rescue them. Are you loyal to a fault, giving 3, 4, 15 chances? If you resonate with this, thank you for showing us, Landmark, the tender, loving kindness and faithfulness of our risen Lord. For what you have given to others, you shall receive from God. And so, Landmark, how might we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and sisters? We're asking the same question, aren't we? How might we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and our sisters who risk being vulnerable and compassionate as they help others with their hearts out in front of them?
Yeah, it could be a tricky one. Our hearts are so big for people. But helping them, help talk through the truth of love and boundaries with them when helping actually hurts and when generosity actually doesn't benefit. And being able to discern needs from wants in our generosity is harder than it sounds, but it's important. And help them to be wise in how they help. And we put on here to never say to the helper, "I told you so." But genuinely walk alongside the helper as they weather their costly decisions, because it's hard. I know so much. I resonate with this one so much, with all of them, of course, but this is, it's easier to say, "I told you so," than to actually walk with them and help them with that discernment. It's much harder to do that, but that is the right thing. And encouraging and reminding them of healthy boundaries and self-care is important too.
Whew. Wow. Well, thank you. Let's consider our next beatitude in Matthew 5, verse 8. This is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Pure in heart. Are you aware? Are you deeply aware of your motives and intentions? The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly? Do you desire to act with integrity, where your actions match your motives? Maybe you give yourself a hard time for not being perfect or good all the time, making it hard to believe, for you to believe that God smiles upon you. If you resonate with that, well, you help. You strive and you grasp to obey the risen Lord from the heart. And as we seek him as a church body, thanks to your encouragement, you modeling it for us, we will see God's radiant face. So Landmark, how might we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and our sisters who are hard on themselves? Perhaps others, perhaps they're hard on others when they or someone else misses the mark.
Help them see themselves as a child of God, not as a servant or a slave. And sharing your own testimony that, you know, I'm human too. I'm broken too. We all are. So it's putting these standards on ourselves or on others. We have to remind ourselves that we are human and we are broken. And tell them that you like them for their messy self. That goes a long way in reminding them too. Giving them grace and reminding them where you give them grace. So that they can do that too.
Wow. My goodness. Let's consider our next beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Are peacemakers, are you sensitive to conflicts, to disputes, to wars? Do you look for ways, maybe even putting yourself in danger or in harm's way to bring the peace of God that you have tasted and that you know that is possible so that others might experience the peace and the rest of the Lord for themselves? If that resonates with you, your effort and work will be fruitful. For just like our older brother, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, you too will hear God call you his child. So Landmark, how might we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and to our sisters who call to our community's attention the brokenness and the power struggles going on in our world, and who can't stand idle or turn a blind eye to them?
Joining in their prayers. Hope with them. Listen so they are and they feel heard. Be curious. Take them seriously. There's a lot of similarities with the justice one on this for the peacemakers. Stand in solidarity with the peacemaker. Brainstorm what resources are actually available. What are some practical resources that we can use? Help the peacemaker discern what wise course of action to take, which we can do with our scripture. And remind the peacemaker to implement the self-care that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Let's consider our final beatitude, and this is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The persecuted. In your efforts to live the life that you truly believe our risen Lord has designed you to live, has violence been done to you? Have you been traumatized? Have you been abused, neglected? Have you been marginalized or kicked out? Have you been hated? Has your offer of love been twisted and turned against you? Have you stood up for injustice only to be canceled? If you resonate with this, at great personal cost, you have been planting seeds of love and of life in the world's soil, making it possible for our risen Lord's kingdom to grow and to flourish. So, Landmark, how might we show the love of Jesus to our brothers and sisters who have been and are being wounded for showing the love, for showing God's love to the powers of sin and death in an empire of domination?
This was a hard one.
Yeah, this was a hard one.
Yeah. Continue to show our persecuted God's love. Show his gentle, embracing, opened arms kind of love that lets them heal over time. Invite their stories to be heard. Celebrate their victories and honor the cost that they have paid. And to be a consistent, positive, yet realistic and safe person that our persecuted can rely on. That's a big one, being a safe person for them. Yeah.
Wow. So that's the Beatitudes. What do you think? This got really practical, didn't it? We're not talking about the lofty stuff. We're getting into the dirt. We're getting into the nitty-gritty. How does all this sit with you? Did you find yourself being described in one or more of the Beatitudes? Did one or more of them hit home for you? Did one or more of them remind you of a family member or a friend or somebody here that you know, that you interact with? We spent today wrestling in the mud, kind of like Jacob with the angel, right? Wrestling with how practical these Beatitudes really are, how they really can be. And so our prayer is that this conversation was encouraging for you. Maybe it opens up conversations to have. Our hope and prayers for you is that you continue to talk with God. Talk with your family. Talk with your friends. Talk with your small group about how we might practically show the love of Jesus to each other. For this is how heaven spreads on earth. It's in these practical ways. So as a reminder, wherever you are in your journey on trusting Jesus Christ, you don't need to work through any of this stuff alone. Reach out. Let's help each other. Would you pray with me?